humans have always been emotional creatures, and from the very beginning of recorded history, love has always been intertwined within our DNA. Aristotle, known as the father of Western philosophy, quoted, "Love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies." From Adam and Eve to Romeo and Juliet and countless other tales, whether real or not, I could ramble on about how love affects humanity, but I believe we're in agreement when I say love has the potential to transcend all barriers, at least in most cases. Unfortunately, as with all things, time is not always on our side, and all things must come to an end. The sad truth is that it is inevitable, and someday we too will perish. But even in our final moments, love has commonly found its way through all life obstacles, and sometimes even death. My name is Michael Ayala, and this is Rest in Pieces. For most of the world, it may seem as taboo to hold on to our loved ones after they pass away. It may be an outcome derived from the many films we've watched in our lifetime depicting flesh-eating zombies and the dead haunting us. That's probably why, in most cases, it can seem as frightening, gross, or disturbing. I would like to warn any listener that things could get graphic. And if you have a weak stomach or a fear of the dead, now would be the time to turn away or pick another podcast. There's plenty to choose from. Okay, if you're still listening, I believe you are one of the brave few. And so I'll start easy and work my way into the worst. Feel free to pause or turn back. I will not be offended. Okay, let's continue. In the Indonesian island of Sulawesi, corpses remain a part of the family for months to years after their death. It is a very real tradition to hold on to bodies. Their presence is still acknowledged and enjoyed in the home, and they are cared for, prayed with, fed, and clothed daily. When the natives are asked if they are scared, they respond with, "Our love is stronger than our fear. Therefore, we do not fear the dead." But from the pictures and research I conducted, it was frightening. But I bet you're wondering how long this goes on for. I know I am. Not that I would hold on to a corpse, of course. But it does make you think, how long is a rotting corpse sitting in their home for? Well, it turns out that the wealthier you are, the longer you keep the deceased. The lower class keeps their deceased relatives for weeks before their funeral. The middle class keeps theirs for months, and the higher class tends to keep theirs for years. Yes, I said years. Surely, it's due to the abilities of preserving the body. But in the end, they do have a funeral, complete with sacrificial buffalo, food, gatherings, and a parade leading to the final resting place. And if you're wondering why buffalo get slaughtered during this event, it is because the buffalo is seen as the vehicle to the afterlife. Oh, and one more thing. Every couple of years, the relatives return to the grave, exhume the body clean, and reclothe the corpse. As mentioned by one of the relatives, because around every 3 years the body form changes, it is good to cleanse the skin and reclothe the bodies. This is all part of their cultural beliefs. And as difficult as it can be to believe, it can get a lot worse. If you're brave enough and want to look into the matter, there are various YouTube videos and websites on the subject. But like I said before, it could be worse, like in the case of Maria Hoyos. Carl Tanzler was born on February 8, 1877, in Dresden, Germany, where he spent most of his childhood. Throughout his childhood, Tanzler claimed to have been visited by visions of a dead ancestor who revealed the face of his true love, an exotic, dark-haired woman. Around 1920, he married Doris Schaefer, with which he had two kids, Aisha and Clarissa Tanzler. It is not really known at what age he traveled to Australia, but he found himself there just prior to the World War I outbreak. In conclusion, he became a prisoner of war during World War I, and unfortunately, after he was released, no prisoner was allowed to return to their former residence. When he was released, he set out to find his mother, from whom he had not heard from since the beginning of the war. He spent 3 years by her side. While the war continued to unravel, eventually his mother suggested for him to be with his sister in the United States. Tanzler emigrated to the United States in 1926, initially sailing through Cuba, which is roughly 90 miles from the Florida Keys. He settled in Seferills, Florida, where his sister had already emigrated. He was later joined by his wife and two daughters. In 1927, he took a job as a radiology technician at the U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West, Florida, under the name Carl von Kozel, setting the foundation for one of the strangest events to ever take place. On April 22, 1930, while working in the Marine Hospital, Tanzler met Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos, a Cuban-American woman who had been brought to the hospital by her mother for examination. She was the daughter of a local cigar maker, Francisco Hoyos, and Aurora Milagro. She also had two sisters, Florida and Milagro Hoyos. Maria was married but had suffered a miscarriage, so no apparent children were noted. But she stayed married to Luis Mesa until death. But at that exact moment, Tanzler believed he had met his true love. He fell head over heels and immediately recognized her as the exotic dark-haired woman shown to him in his visions as a child, something that he was not prepared to let go. Maria was eventually diagnosed with tuberculosis. At the time, it was a death sentence. Tanzler could not bear his love leaving him, and with his self-taught medical knowledge, attempted to treat and cure his beloved Maria. Tanzler tried everything in his power to keep Maria alive. He brought medicines, x-rays, and other types of electrical equipment, but nothing helped. During her final days, Tanzler showered Maria with gifts, jewelry, and clothing while professing his love to her. No evidence was ever found of any of his affection being returned by Maria. Despite all the work and attempts carried out by Tanzler, Maria passed away of tuberculosis at her parents' home in Key West, October 25th, 1931. Of course, Tanzler made sure to pay for Maria's funeral, and with the permission of her family, he constructed an above-ground mausoleum in the Key West Cemetery, which he religiously visited almost every single night. It was clear that not even death would keep him away from Maria. As the minutes, hours, and years went by, it became unbearable to be without Maria. And so one evening in April 1933, 3 years after Maria's death. His loneliness and loss of his Maria would haunt him no longer. He crept through the cemetery to where Maria's body was buried and secretly removed her deceased body from the mausoleum. He then carted it through the cemetery in the darkness of the night in his toy wagon and transported it to his home, where they would finally be together at last. I want everyone to keep in mind that the body of Maria had been decomposing for 3 years at this point. But don't worry, as morbid as this might seem, Chancellor had a plan, a fountain of youth, or a time machine, some may claim. As Maria's corpse lay in his home, partially decomposed and rotted to the core, Chancellor, the medical guru he had become, attached the corpse's bones together with wire and coat hangers. For the face, it was a more delicate procedure. He fitted the face with glass eyes, since the eyeballs had rotted out of her skull. He replaced the decomposed skin with silk cloth, soaked in wax and plaster, and because he kept her corpse for a staggering 7 years, as the flesh continued to rot, he continued to replace the skin with silk cloth. For her hair, he created a wig made from hair collected by her mother and given to him not long after her burial in 1931. I'm certain that her mother had no clue of the morbid events that would take place with the hair, and assumed it was simply to remember Maria. Chancellor also filled her chest cavity and abdominal area with rags to keep her original form. As you can imagine, even though the body's organs are removed before burial, the rotting of the abdomen must have become an issue, and it must have sank in. He also fully dressed her, and they slept together in his bed each and every night, like a joyful, ordinary, happy couple. He even went through the great lengths of getting married to Maria, dressing her up in a beautiful dress, and saying his vows. I'm sure it couldn't have been legal, since both of them were already married. But still, a great deal of work, and I'm sure at least he congratulated himself on the matter. I know you think this is the perfect happy ending. Everyone goes home happy, Chancellor with his bride, living happily ever after. But I'm sure each and every one of us would have freaked out to see the sight. And it probably only took one glance of what was going on for people to say something. And as you can imagine, eventually, after years passed, that is exactly what took place. So in October 1940, Maria's sister Florinda began to hear rumors of Chancellor sleeping with the corpse of her sister, and confronted Chancellor at his home, where her body was eventually discovered, all because he was caught dancing with Maria's corpse in front of an open window. I'm sure those neighbors were never the same again. Florinda notified the authorities, and he was arrested. He was then psychologically tested and was found mentally competent. He stood trial, and the case was later dropped, as the statute of limitations for the crime had expired. But it is also important to note that the public's mood was generally sympathetic to the case, and he was viewed as an eccentric romantic who loved Maria, even surpassing her death. So you might be wondering what exactly happened to the body of Maria after it was found in Chancellor's home. The following took place. First, through evidence indicated by authors Harrison and Swisegood, it revealed necrophilia with Maria's corpse. Two physicians who attended the autopsy in 1940 recalled that a paper tube had been inserted in the vaginal area of the corpse that allowed for intercourse. At this point, it is not hard to believe. since she slept with him every night and he redressed her and also danced with her. I don't think there was really any limits to what this man was capable of. And second, Maria's body was returned to the Key West Cemetery, where another ceremony was held, and her body was then put on display for all to see. But eventually, the body was buried in a secret unmarked grave, so Tansler could not get his hands on her once again. As for the final days of Tansler, once he was separated from his obsession, he moved back to Zephyrhills, Florida, where he spent the remainder of his years. But the wild part about all this is, at some point after the hearing and the scandal blew over, Tansler used a death mask to create a life-sized effigy of Maria. If you don't know what an effigy is, it is a life-sized doll usually created to be either damaged in protests or during expressions of anger. But in this case, it's clear that that was not Tansler's intent. He lived alongside the Maria effigy until his death at age 75, on July 3rd, 1952. His body was discovered in the arms of the effigy doll at his home. The mystery lives on because some claim that he was able to recover the body or switch out the bodies, and that the effigy doll was actually Maria's original remains. Whether they were or not, I'm sure Tansler believed in his soul that it surely was until the end. Although much time has passed since the early 1900s, the stories live on, and the spirit of Maria is said to haunt the very same Key West Cemetery. Today, you can visit the mausoleum where Tansler abducted Maria's body, and know that there's a chance that Maria is buried somewhere in the cemetery in a secret location. And if you choose to go and you bump into Maria's ghost, tell her hi for me. I'm sure she'll be pleased to know that her memory lives on, and that acts like what happened with her body are more difficult to repeat in today's age. This episode was researched and produced by me, Michael Ayala. And if you enjoyed the episode, make sure to rate and subscribe. Any and all support means the world to me. There's much more coming, and as a fairly new podcast, I would be extremely delighted to open up the veil of the bizarre world we live in. See you next time in the world of Rest in Pieces.